Imagine a world where everyone can access an attorney about any legal issue. Now, imagine a world where everyone can afford it. Thanks to Legal Shield, that is the world we live in today. A world where one legal service company is helping millions of families live life on their own terms. So instead of worrying about all the things that can go wrong, for as little as $17 a month, they can get on with their lives, knowing legal advice is a phone call away. The service Legal Shield provides is one of a kind. Our unique network of dedicated law firms is the key to providing a high-quality customer experience. With a law firm in 49 states and 4 Canadian provinces, we have your legal needs covered wherever you may be. And because our law firms are prepaid, their focus is on serving you rather than billing you. From the trivial to the traumatic and everything in between, our attorneys are always there to not only give you legal advice, but also write letters and make phone calls on your behalf, prepare legal documentation such as wills and powers of attorney, and even represent you in court should you ever need it. Plus, with an extensive library of complimentary forms and information, you can download what you need when you need it. Imagine for one low monthly fee that you and your family can talk to an attorney about any legal issue without worrying about high hourly costs. Join Legal Shield today and you can stop imagining and start living life in a whole new way, empowered, with complete confidence and total peace of mind. Legal Shield. Worry less. Live more.
It's your gavel. I am, or one of the hosts, I am also a Legal Shield independent associate. If you'd like more information about Legal Shield, please go to malletagency.com. MALLETTAGENCY.com. Yeah, and good morning, everybody. It's, what is it? Good morning.
Jews around the world.
Yeah, it's set aside for it's set aside. It's an Israeli holiday, and it's, I think it's the anniversary of when Auschwitz was liberated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I posted some information on my Facebook wall about this, and then all of a sudden I got a slew of Holocaust deniers. Everybody saying it didn't exist. The Germans were brutal, and a lot of people starved to death with their brutality, but not 6 million. Another guy said 4 million only. I just can't believe the response here. You know, in London, there was an editorial in the London Times that, you know, most of the people that were alive at that point are now dead. If not, they're in the 80s and 90s. Hey, it's time for us to move on and just forget. And then, and on my Facebook wall, I had a guy go, you know, the Jews, this is just Zionist propaganda so the Jews can steal the land. And the Holocaust was such a long time ago, and the Jews stole the land in 48. With that kind of mentality and logic, well, the Holocaust was so long ago, and a couple years later, the Jews stole the land. But we shouldn't forget a couple years later. But maybe we should go back to, and this is my own input, Maybe we should go back to the Romans when the Romans threw the Jews out of Israel. Maybe if the Romans never threw the Jews out of Israel, the Jews would be in Israel today, and they would remain in Israel, and they wouldn't have been in Europe, and they wouldn't have been all over the world, and the whole world would look different today. But you got to deal with the realities of what happened, and the realities are 6 million Jews were killed, and I've been to Israel, and I've been to the Holocaust museums throughout this country, including Washington, including in Jerusalem, Yad Vashem. And not only do they know how many were killed, they have the names of everyone who was killed. The Nazis kept very good records. You know, they have like 98% of the names and when they were killed and how they were killed. And for someone to go around and go, oh, you know, what do you listen to Palestinian propaganda? It just amazes me. And then I want to say that on
military dictatorships of all stripes have something in common, which is that they are very good about keeping records about themselves, including their atrocities. And once their records have been opened up to the world at large, we find out exactly what has taken place in those areas. We saw this with the former Soviet Union. We'll probably see it with Cuba when Cuba opens up, if Cuba opens up, which I hope it does. There's no doubt in my mind that we will see how that dictatorship below our state of Florida has kept records of some of the things that it has done to its own people over the years. And that will be another source of contention and social reconciliation between the two countries and between expatriates and the existing government of Cuba. But back to the Holocaust, it never ceases to amaze me that these old tropes of Holocaust denial, minimalization, continue decade after decade after decade. And
you know, late Tuesday night, on HBO On Demand, they debuted a documentary called "The Night Will Fall." And when they started liberating the camps, film crews were sent in. And I don't want, I can spend the next 15, 20 minutes going about what this movie was about, but just to keep it brief, there was a lot of news footage. Not news footage, these were movie cameras brought in, not news footage, and they documented it. And later they brought in Alfred Hitchcock while the war was still going on to try to edit this. And then they made a full-length motion picture. Alfred Hitchcock basically did the editing and put together, and you know, and the movie we saw was a documentary about the documentary. So they showed a lot of the clips, and these were, you know, for an hour and a half, I was just horrified.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some of those clips before, and a lot of these clips I haven't seen. And when they liberated Auschwitz, there was 30,000 bodies that they had to dispose of, and then they talked about some of the other camps that were liberated, and you know, and then I wake up this morning with people writing that no one was gassed, the brutality of slave labor, a lot of people starved to death, but you know, it's just so clear what has occurred.
As if there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. You know, and 4 million, not 6 million, and there were only 6 million Jews in Europe, and I beg to differ. There were a lot more than 6 million Jews in Europe before the war started.
But
there were 6 million less Jews in Europe when the war ended.
Well, I don't know when the anti-Semites of the world will give up with their attempts to discriminate and in some cases certain periods in world history exterminate. It's been trying for centuries and it hasn't worked. Give it up, okay? Give it up.
Right, these extremes, the extreme on the right and the left, they all seem to want to deny the Holocaust. And I think this is Lawrence. Let's go to Lawrence. Good morning, Lawrence.
Good morning. Thank you for taking a call. I have credibility, Ms. Wunder, so I will say that I am Jewish. And so I can weigh in. I haven't been to Israel 5 times. I haven't the same resume as your co-host. But my credibility is that I'm Jewish. And I was wondering, what do you think that the current day situation, the United States, Israel, Iran, our relationship with our president and Benjamin Netanyahu, and the similarity of what's going on in the world and in the past, like Nazi Germany, the Holocaust, Neville Chamberlain. I was wondering, what do you think about that?
Well, Lawrence, we're going to assume you're not a Holocaust
denier. I wasn't talking to you.
Yeah, but you're talking to both of us when you call the show.
No, well, you won't let her talk, will you?
You can't answer that question.
You won't let her talk, will you?
Well, I'm not stopping her from talking. She's smiling.
Oh, yes, you are.
Lawrence, I assume you're
there
not
you go.
Higher? You want
it sounds...
I thought that was
I didn't... I called and asked you a question. Let her talk. She's paying the money. Let her talk.
The state of Israel is worth defending. And it is U.S. policy that Israel is worth defending. The Middle East is in the worst turmoil that we have seen since World War II. Okay? It's unquestionable that the turmoil that is happening in that region, all over that region,
Israel, Ms. Wonder.
I've not seen this kind of conflict since.
Right. Israel.
And that includes the state of Israel. And Israel is in a very precarious position. Quite frankly, if we had not invaded Iraq, the instability that we would be in, that we are in right now, would not exist. It precipitated that, and that has put Israel at risk.
Pardon me, you're saying it's George Bush's fault?
Yes, I am. I am saying
okay.
Responsible for
on the right show. Two losers.
Lawrence, let me finish.
I asked a question, and you went off on a tangent blaming George Bush.
Lawrence, I'm not finished.
I asked a question. Obama.
And you wouldn't let me finish.
He's muted.
Started with George Bush. Am I happy with the current presidential administration's ability to contend the problem that we are now facing? I'm not completely satisfied with it. I am not. And I happen to think that the current administration understands that and is now trying to contend it itself. But no, I'm not happy with the Obama administration's policy with the Middle East. And we have a long way to go diplomatically in that region, ensuring that we support Israel and all the other nations that are now beset by this scourge of Islamic terrorism that is threatening to engulf the region. There have been positive developments, however, with the Obama administration. For example, there is cooperation between two of the most unlikely countries, Israel and Saudi Arabia, and their intelligence sharing and initiatives to fight problems in the region. But no, it's not perfect. But I will stand firm in that had we not invaded Iraq, the instability that we are in right now would not nearly be what it is. And we are going to be dealing with this problem for a long, long, long time, and it is going to take a huge effort no matter who is in office, to contend this and to develop a really good, solid strategic policy to contend the scourge of Islamic terrorism that has just infected the whole Islamic world like a contagion.
Absolutely. You know, give credit where credit's due. And had George Bush stuck with Afghanistan and got Osama bin Laden when he had the chance, had a palm resource out and going into Iraq to revenge whatever it was that his father may have done, we wouldn't be in this situation in the whole world. And they try to now blame Obama and to turn politics. And really what I find outrageous right now is the Republican Party. I also find what's outrageous, and I have a lot of admiration for Netanyahu, but at the same time he's playing along with this, that Netanyahu and the Republican Party find that that they should play politics, domestic politics, with each other on an international level. I think it's outrageous. And Obama, you know, we're talking about the controversy of the Republican Party inviting Netanyahu to address Congress without consulting the White House first and getting their input 2 weeks before the election in Israel, 2 weeks. And Obama said that he will not meet with an Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu in March because of his trip in Washington comes too close for Israeli upcoming elections. And he goes on, I'm declining to meet with him simply because our general policy is we don't meet with any world leader 2 weeks before their election. That's because you don't want to interfere.
Right.
And
it's a fair thing, and it's customary with presidents, not just the current one.
And that's what the Republican Party is exactly doing, inviting him to Congress to prop him up because they want to see Netanyahu get reelected. So we have the Republicans interjecting themselves into Israeli politics, and then they're trying to leverage it by running around saying Obama won't meet with Netanyahu in March. And they're trying to make it an issue that Obama won't meet with him when the Republicans didn't consult with him. And they shouldn't be inviting foreign heads of state to come address Congress. It's improper. Maybe the President of the United States ought to sue the Republican leadership. All right? And
amazing.
And I want to say this. And there was a post on my wall from a guy named Bert Weiss. He's a friend of mine. He lives up in New England. And he wrote this. He wrote, Israel takes a unique and strange place in history. Boehner invites an American ally to speak to Congress, and my Facebook page lights up with calls of treason. There is no other nation on the planet that could cause such a rise. Arabs comprise 20% of Israel's society. And he's referring to within the Green Line. They have equal rights. The vote, they are treated, and often for free, basically all the time for free, in hospitals and attend schools and universities. In the Palestinian Authority controls towns in the West Bank, there is indeed apartheid. Jews are not allowed or safe in the West Bank in Gaza. Jews can't use their transportation. They won't be treated in their hospitals. There are billboards extorting people to run over Jews with their cars. Somewhere there is, and he goes on and on about this disconnect here. And you start looking at it from both sides.
I don't know where the Nelson Mandelas and the clerks of the Middle East are. I wish they would come forward. And when I was in Iraq on my last deployment, I often would ask this question.
Lawrence disappeared, by the way.
Who are the Mandelas and the clerks of Iraq, of anywhere in the Middle East? I wish they would come forward.
I wish they would.
Yeah.
We're going to just take a commercial break and then go on to the next segment.
I think that's a good idea.
You think it's a good idea?
And then, let's talk about let's talk about some other things when we come back from our commercial break.
Imagine a world where everyone can access an attorney about any legal issue. Now, imagine a world where everyone can afford it. Thanks to Legal Shield, that is the world we live in today. A world where one legal service company is helping millions of families live life on their own terms. So instead of worrying about all the things that can go wrong, for as little as $17 a month, they can get on with their lives, knowing legal advice is a phone call away. The service Legal Shield provides is one of a kind. Our unique network of dedicated law firms is the key to providing a high-quality customer experience. With a law firm in 49 states and 4 Canadian provinces, we have your legal needs covered wherever you may be. And because our law firms are prepaid, their focus is on serving you rather than billing you. From the trivial to the traumatic and everything in between, our attorneys are always there to not only give you legal advice, but also write letters and make phone calls on your behalf, prepare legal documentation such as wills and powers of attorney, and even represent you in court should you ever need it. Plus, with an extensive library of complimentary forms and information, you can download what you need when you need it. Imagine for one low monthly fee that you and your family can talk to an attorney about any legal issue without worrying about high hourly costs. Join Legal Shield today and you can stop imagining and start living life in a whole new way, empowered, with complete confidence and total peace of mind. Legal Shield. Worry less. Live more.
Once again, I am Mitch Mallett, your independent Legal Shield associate. And for more information, give me a call at 813-924-7994 or www.mallettagency.com, MallettAgency.com. And we're gonna swing in and go into some local talk.
The theme of the day is public corruption and the unwillingness of some of our locally elected officials to listen to their constituents and to respect people's right to dissent. And we have in our studio right now Ms. Debbie Glow, who would like to share this week's events in local politics regarding that subject matter. Debbie, what sayest thou?
What sayest thou?
I sayest thou that everybody on the BOCC, except two individuals, should be actually thrown off of there.
And why is that?
Because they form their own little group there, and basically they are all Republicans, and they form their little hate group out.
Is this the Mean Girls plus a couple of others?
Yeah, Mean Girls plus two little mean boys.
Okay.
And the Mean Girls are doing a good job. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, they're doing a good job of isolating Robin DiSabatino.
Mm-hmm.
But Robin is holding her own. I mean, that woman is tough. She is holding her own. So,
what's going on?
Oh, what's going on? Okay, I'll just give you a for instance.
Robin's a Republican, right?
Yes,
yeah, she's got a lot of respect from Democrats. She's real moderate-minded person who really respects citizens.
She's a practical conservative.
Yeah, she is. She deserves to be in office. She really does.
One smart lady, I'll tell you. But,
so what's going on?
Okay, last week when we were here, remember Catherine and I were here,
mm-hmm.
and
okay,
we were and when we were at this show, there was a workshop going on Cumming building,
mm-hmm.
and what they were discussing was trying to figure out how to work on.
Citizens'
comments on the agenda and on future agenda items.
And so what happened?
Oh, well, our representative was Barbara Hines, who happens to be a past attorney and a past judge.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
she's vice president of Minnesota 88.
Oh, okay. Well, very smart lady.
Yes, she is.
And Ms. Whitmore made a remark that was, I would say, very, very not politically correct.
Okay. What did she say?
She said that during the election there were a lot of people that treated her, abused her, and treated her very unfairly. So therefore, going since she was reelected, she says going forward, she is not going to deal with these nuts.
Oh, really?
Yes. She is not going to deal with them. She's not going to listen
to them.
She
called them nuts?
Yes. She called them nuts.
Barbara Hines, was she in the room when this happened?
She was, and it was taped. It was taped by Glenn Giblina. He taped the whole thing because it wasn't taped. He sent me the tape late last night, so I didn't get a chance to actually see the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then yesterday, Tuesday morning, the BOCC had a meeting, and under citizens' comments, Barbara brought this up about respect and about how the BOCC has to respect us since we're the voters and they have to start listening
mm-hmm.
to us and we need more transparency, blah, 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 blah. So Barbara sat down and I got up and gave my little speech and the other mm-hmm. other three girls gave their speech. And I'll tell you, then after everybody was done talking, Ms. Whitmore decided she was going to talk.
Oh.
And she actually affirmed that statement that she made, and she defended that statement she made. And she looked at Barbara Hines and pointed her finger at Barbara Hines and said, "You are one of those nuts."
Oh, my God.
And we all just, what? How can you do that in a public? How can a commissioner do that to a taxpaying citizen, especially somebody like Barbara Hines, who's so intelligent?
Yeah.
And, I mean, and had the rest of us been there, we would have been, actually, she was probably talking to all of us because we're all in that nut category because we were on Terry's side when
mm-hmm.
we were helping Terry try to get elected. So this is what's going on with our BOCC. They have no respect for us. We get it out there and talk. They turn their heads. They walk out. And she actually said she has never done that. And we get no rebuttal time to go back and say, you know, this is not true.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the problems with citizens' comment in Manatee County. It differs from Sarasota County in that there's never an opportunity for citizen rebuttal. You just make a comment and then it's closed. And then all kinds of outrageous statements, including lies, are told after that. And there's no opportunity to rebut the lies and the outrageous statements. So sounds like the same old in the commission, but Commissioner Whitmore's in rare form this week then.
She's in very rare form.
And she attacked Barbara Hines directly.
Directly.
Yeah, and she's resentful of the democratic process that every 4 years she wishes to rerun, that she could possibly face a challenger.
Yeah, how dare there be dissent and challenge?
Right.
We have a caller on the line.
We do. You want to introduce him?
Yeah, I'd like to introduce him. Our caller on the line is Mr. John Rehill of the online newspaper in Manatee County called the Bradenton Times, bradentontimes.com. John Rehill is an investigative reporter, and he covers, among other things, Manatee Commission politics. John, welcome to the show. It's your gavel.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm glad we got off the international picture because quite often it's so fumbled and hard to read and disconnected to what goes on in our lives that we can't get it straight, but it serves a purpose of keeping us entertained to see that we're to make us feel better about being part of a democracy, which is a very laborious and very hands-on government. And, we 90% of everything that happens down on Manatee Avenue in this county, and that affects our lives as individuals. And, it's hard to base our trust on national figures and we can sit there and tolerate bald-face lying by people that we, you know, get elected by a margin, you know, whether thin or wide. It's embarrassing in a sense, and all I can do to advocate is that people do, you know, take time out, hold them to their feet to the fire. Whitmore, she sees herself as a very honorable person. She has trouble with definition on many things. You know, she confuses it with ethics. She has no ethics.
Honor, you
support, you know, you recognize whatever your employer, which she sees as being the government. She protects the local government. She'll protect it to the end. Where a behavior that's ethical would, like, support whistleblowers. She has sat through on this whole animal service thing. She's known about the P.O. box. We're continuing to do a story on this. This weekend there'll be much more on it, and things that have been sort of held back a while because there's so many legal issues going around it.
Tell us about the post office boxes.
The P.O. box, 1990 is a box that Carol had with her late husband, and she's for years now. She's let Deborah Starr use it.
Who's Deborah Starr?
For Deborah Starr, she is actually Animal Network. And Animal Network has been Robin DiSabatino came up in commissioner comments last Tuesday. And she said she had an uncomfortable, and I wrote a little breakout on the agenda on it, but I'm going to cover it better so this weekend. And she said that there was a real conflict of interest there that Deborah Starr was using for Animal Network, which is the PayPal button on the county website at Animal Services where people go to donate money. Nothing has ever been informing them that it is a 501(c)(3) entity that's run and owned by Deborah Starr.
So a private 501c3 charity has a link to a PayPal button on a local government website. Who authorized this? Does anybody know?
John, that money doesn't go to the shelter?
No, it doesn't go to the shelter at all. It goes to the P.O. box. It goes to Carol Whitmore's P.O. box. Carol Whitmore has said, as she said in The Sun, she didn't bring any of this up yesterday during this conflict, but she has said previously in the Sun that she doesn't open any of the mail, that she's let them use it as a favor to help promote, you know, I guess, good animal behavior with those that run
into open the mail and check the you know, look at the checks themselves, lets her off the hook.
Well, she's definitely privy to, I mean, when Bill Hutchison came in October and he did his presentation of how he was appointed, Ed Hutzinger said, please come back in. He used to run Animal Service and help us straighten this all out. Well, what they really, really did was just bring everybody back that got it in trouble in the first place. Deborah Starr was the first thing on his PowerPoint, an Animal Network, saying he's going to bring in different people and different extensions to come in here and expand that. Well, by their own admission, and the history shows, you can go and check how long that Animal Network has been on the county website. It was all a lie.
No,
it was a lie. It wasn't supported by anything.
The money goes to Animal Network. So what happens?
It goes to Animal Network, and Deborah Starr decides on how that's divvied out.
Yes,
the county has no say so over that.
Well, they have a heartworm fund, and so it's possible that this money goes to the heartworm fund. But the problem here is that if I am a person who is interested in supporting the shelter and supporting this initiative that was created in 2011 under the advocacy of Commissioner Whitmore, which is called No Kill Manatee. So on all the publications, on the brochures, on Manatee County website for numerous years since 2011. Support No Kill Manatee. No Kill Manatee. That's the phrase. So that term has been associated with Manatee County Animal Services, the shelter. So if I want to, if I'm online and I'm looking at the shelter and I see this Support No Kill Manatee, you know, make a donation. I think when I start clicking these buttons that I am making a donation to the shelter.
Nobody would think there's no reason to think anything different.
It takes you on the county government website. It takes you to a PayPal button, and when you click on this donate button, it's to this thing called Animal Network. Well, not a lot of, you know, it's like, okay, to the unsuspecting citizen, nobody knows what Animal Network is. Maybe it's part
it
of the
sounds
government.
Like it's part
it's
of
very
the,
misleading.
Right.
It's very misleading.
But John, do you know how much the raise? Is there a disclosure where this money goes and where they're spending it?
Absolutely not. But we're investigating.
It's being investigated.
They do have professionals. They do have professionals on a few of these different. I understand that there might be a couple of these different associated animal service extensions. That's what they're referred to as extensions. As in NAPRS was an extension. It was a larger extension. I think because we've been holding back because of the trial on some of the stuff there are fraud charges coming in on NAPRS, and I guess
For our listeners who don't know about the Napier Sanctuary.
Napier is where the counties confiscated 300 dogs from reports that they were living in just horrifying situations where it could be labeled cruel, and that picture of that put in the dictionary.
And just for our listeners who don't understand, the relationship between our shelter, our county, an enforcement arm of government, was that our the powers that be, the people who were running the shelter, were sending impounded animals to the Napier Sanctuary, all the while knowing that the Napiers were just abusing, neglecting, just keeping these animals.
Yeah, they were supposedly going through when these extensions that deal with the county, they send out someone from Animal Services who's supposed to be inspecting these things to make sure it's all right. But it's obvious that nobody was inspecting these. Had they been inspecting these, they should have been fired immediately and maybe even arrested for being
Let me go back to this PayPal account. Let me understand this. On the county official county website, in the realm where the shelter's located, there's a button to donate after hearing about all this no-kill. You click on this link, it says Animal Network, and if you're reading this going, oh, I'm going to make a $25 contribution or whatever, you click here, it says Animal Network, you think, all right, that's part of the process. Otherwise, it wouldn't be on the county website, and you make this contribution.
You think you're giving it to the government.
And you think you're giving it to the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
You know that...
You think you're giving it to a hired body under the umbrella of a hired body that's going to reflect your concerns as what they are supposed to, whether it's maintenance of vehicles or anything else. We elect these officials to be responsible for this stuff, and it's been known all along. Years.
There's no oversight from the county on this fundraising link that they have, where this money is, how they're spending it, no disclosure on how much is being raised.
That's right. And here's the kicker. When Robin DeSabatino and Commissioner DeSabatino found out about this, which was months ago, she alerted the county administrator Ed Hunsaker and Bill Hutchinson and other appropriate officials in the county, and they didn't do anything. And so this is why she got fed up, and she brought it up during commissioner's comments on Tuesday. But here's the other thing.
Was she shot down?
Nobody knew what was coming.
What they did.
Talk about what happened.
I watched it.
What they did is they all acted dumbfounded, the tension, the nervous tension, you could have, it was thick as paint in there. They didn't know how to handle it. Robin demanded that she made a motion to try and have that taken off right away. And Commissioner Smith seconded it. But as they went through comments around the commission, they all sort of acted like they were so surprised. And actually, Robin DiSabatino tried to navigate them on their iPads. And it's worth watching. They all played dumbfounded, like, we can't find it, we can't find it. A six-year-old could find it, and it's their county website. You know,
to authorize this or anything. I mean, there really needs to be a big investigation about this.
Well, the lawyer, Mickey Palmer, who was sitting at the dais, he said he'd only heard about this days ago. And another attorney came down from upstairs, seeing that this was a very contentious and it was becoming problematic. And he said he wanted to know what was going on. Well, both those gentlemen, I sat down with last year with a state attorney and with the sheriff's department, detectives from both of them, and investigators, and went over a lot of this stuff. And it's been sitting around for a long time. We were sort of sitting back on some of because of the investigation. But for Mickey Palmer to sit there and say he didn't understand, he just got introduced, and the other attorney, I forget his name, but I approached them both after the meeting and said, well, you know, and told them that, well, we've been talking to try and bring them up to date and let them know that there's things there that weren't said, like all that discussion. Carol Whitmore should have said, should have brought it to the attention that the post office box was being used by Animal Network. And she didn't. But when I
yeah,
approached the attorney,
her way is to either lie about it or elide sidestep. Debbie Glow is here in the studio, John, and it's my understanding that Debbie Glow is among several citizens in Manatee County who were supporters of my campaign who tried to bring this to light prior to the election to answer Mitch's question. And then after the election, evidently a lot of media just wouldn't touch it at the time, and there are legal reasons for that, I understand. But then they continued to pursue this after
legal
the election.
Legal reasons for the media not to touch it?
Yeah.
How soon before the election this come to light?
I think it was like 2 weeks before the election.
Oh, it started surfacing a while back, a year before the election. Emails had been received and sent to and received by the administrator, by Carol Whitmore, by all of them knew there was a lot of stuff going way before they went into nappers,
was the official Democratic nominee opposing Carol Whitmore. And
that's right.
And Terry, when did you find out about this?
Well, I found out about this a couple of weeks before the election. Some of my supporters did some just incredible sleuthing, and one of them sitting here in the studio. And after the election, it's my understanding that you filed complaints with the IRS and the sheriff's office.
IRS, sheriff's office,
Department of Agriculture. I can't remember all of them.
Department of Agriculture,
for sure. Mm-hmm. And I did get information back from the IRS that they are investigating the case. They won't tell us what they're doing, but they said they are investigating.
Well, that's what you can expect at this point from the IRS.
But I wanted to make a remark, because I sat there yesterday. I had the TV going on all day waiting for these commissioners to start making their remarks, because I knew.
So were you in the room or you were watching the live feed?
I was watching on TV.
Okay.
But Robin did. I mean, it was so hilarious because Robin tried to walk the press this button, like they didn't even know how to use the computer. So I got a good laugh out of that. So when they finally all got to the page and they're pressing this button and they had the worst look on their face, was like, oh my God, we're busted.
Wow.
And then Carol Whitmore had the she had the audacity to say, and some of the other commissioners had the audacity to say, that they had never been on this page, never even seen this page.
She's the animal commissioner liaison. How could she have never been to that page?
Well, she just admitted she's not doing her job.
So we want to back up one more thing. Then she came back a few minutes later and said, well, this thing with Animal Network and this button, this donation button, had been put on there 5 years ago. So,
as if that's okay.
That's okay. But she said she never saw the page, but she knew the button was there, and she knew all the money was going to Animal Networks.
Oh, yeah, because when she sorts out the mail, she gets her campaign mail in that same post office box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When she sorts it out, she's got to see all the... The checks and all the information coming to that PO box, so she knew of its significance. But it goes back to the honor and ethics. She feels she's being honorable. She thinks she's being honorable. This is how shallow she approaches these things. She thinks she's being honorable every time she says. When she's questioned about being affiliated with something and still voting on it, she goes, "Wait a minute! I even vote on things against my son-in-law, who's representing clients before." She doesn't realize that is a direct and whatever the ACLU isn't doing, and as far as Michael Barfield, who's supposed to be enforcing these things, he takes some things apart with a microscope, and things like this fly by him. And we're looking into some of he may even be involved in some illegal activity.
She loves her son-in-law. She says
she feels honorable to protect this entity.
Her son-in-law is the developer's attorney.
Oh, okay.
Pardon me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wanted to clarify some things. Carol Whitmore's son-in-law is Scott Runicell. He's an attorney here in town, and he does land development.
Yeah, he represents land use meetings, land use applications.
Sometimes I vote against him.
You can go to the Florida State statute on Sunshine Law, and it clearly includes son-in-law. And she has said it, I think I've counted 6 times, and 3 of those times was during when she was voting for something. She thinks she's being honorable, and all you have to do is trust her, when actually she's admitting to a violation of the Sunshine Law, and the local representatives are supposed to check that and see that, including the Ethics Committee. And I'm looking into right now, too, as far as appointed boards. You can't have more than 5 any one party on any of appointed board, and that takes into question the Planning Commission, and takes into question a lot. We're having to look at all that, because this commission, more than any I've ever seen, flies right on by everything. They just don't give it any consideration. It's sort of being piloted by Ed Hutsinger.
I don't know what our county administrator and our county attorneys are doing, but they just seem to be letting this all happen, which is
when I approached them both yesterday and told them about about the post office box being the camel at that meeting yesterday, they both of them independently said so. They both admitted to not knowing about it, coming down to find out more about it. I was willing to sit down and tell them whatever we were up to, you know, just to help them clear to get this moving. But they don't want to hear it. Out of sight, out of mind, and that's pretty easy, Carol.
What's your question, Mitch?
This button, this PayPal button, goes to that PO box. Her campaign goes to that PO box. So campaign donations and monies that are. People think are donating to the county animal shelter are going to the same PO box. Is that correct?
Well, yes. And the code of ethics in Florida states that the public, elected officials are the public trust. And it doesn't take a violation for them to pull back. It's any appearance, and it clearly states any appearance of impropriety, then you must pass on it. they're not governed by you know, so it goes pretty deep on that, and they totally ignore it, you know.
Debbie, I'm watching your facial expressions. What are you thinking, Debbie? Tell us.
Can't see it on the radio, but I'll tell you what. John made a good point about Carol voting, saying, no, I am not voting. I'm voting against my son-in-law. From what I understand, if she is supposed to remove herself from
yes.
that vote, she cannot vote at all. That is a total impropriety. And it's been they've just been doing it and doing it and doing it. And actually, I did watch the attorney that came down yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He made it very, very clear that this was going to cause a problem, and he had been in discussions with Robin over and over, and Robin made the remark, this will bring a lawsuit if we do not get rid of this.
And
I'm going to tell you, this morning I went on there, and I think Terry did too. It's gone.
So the county removed the button. It's no longer there.
But they also removed some things that were very, very, and John, you know this, they removed all the save rate stats. They're totally gone.
Yeah, they did. They removed that button yesterday around 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
They removed the save rate stats, so we don't know what the save rate is, but we kind of do because we figured it out ourselves.
We have about 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Let me ask John another question. If you're an attorney and your mother-in-law is a government elected official and you're going to represent a private entity like a developer comes to you and says, I would like to hire you to represent our firm, our development company, in front of the county commission, wouldn't the ethical thing for that attorney to do is to say, there's a conflict of interest, I can't represent you?
Yeah, they're governed by law to do that, to do just that. They are required by law. It is an ethical violation. I can state the statute if you wish. But it is an ethical violation.
Could he be disbarred?
That should be taken up with the Florida bar. And any complaints, if somebody has complaints about the county attorneys or any attorney, the only recourse you really have is to file a formal complaint with the Florida bar, and they are sent from the bar, the committee that oversees it. The lawyer has 30 days to respond. None of them want to be reported as part of the law.
If you're going to hire a family member of a Sitton County Commission to represent, you know, and maybe like Hal Whitmore said to her son, you need to put her something in front of us so I can vote against you, just so I could say, I don't always vote for you, you know.
Here's a real life one.
Wait, John, let me ask this question. Because you know, if I'm a developer, I'm gonna hire Carol Whitmore, Carol Whitmore's son-in-law, and I could overpay him a whole bunch of money because it's legal fees, and
yes.
lieu of donating all kinds of money to Carol Whitmore. Isn't that corruption?
Well, absolutely. But if you go on the real end, here, just imagine this. Her daughter, it was during those periods, had a baby. What if her son-in-law spent too much time away from her? Carol is not past going, I'm going to deny this because I want him home more, you know? I mean, there's all kinds of ways and reasons of things that we shouldn't have to think about. That violated. So she's asked to step down, but she refuses to do so. Once she admittedly, when she was a chairman, she admitted to flying, going for a ride with Mosaic. She admitted to going for a ride when I said that Bustle, he was elected. He had just been elected in Chaffee. They both went for a ride. In a Mosaic, I thought it was a helicopter, so I said a helicopter, you know, because
phosphate mining company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the meeting, before she said adjourn, she said, I don't know why everybody's getting so upset about this, because Bustle and Chappie said they wanted to catch up to what the history was. well, we're spending near $1 million a year to record all this stuff. That's where you go to catch up. You certainly don't go for a ride. And but I want to people, and I choose for years of going for a helicopter ride. 2.5 years later, I found out she thought she was being ethical by saying, no, I didn't go for a helicopter ride. I'm scared of helicopters. Then Russell came up and told me one day, he smiled and said, because I accused them all. He goes, it was a fixed wing. Like that, it was a fixed wing. You know, it's like, you know, that's the kind of one.
And then you find out later it was a fixed wing aircraft that she rode in. So
Oh my God. He said, I went for a ride. Now, at that time, she should have been approached for a violation of the Sunshine Law. She was the chair, you know. So they just don't. We need to get some educated people in there.
I like that one. No comment, Debbie. Debbie, you've been waiting patiently here. I've got 2 minutes, Debbie. What did you want to say about all of this? All I know is, if it's possible to do a recall on her, she needs out of there. She is probably one of the most arrogant people I have ever met. Well, there's a couple of everybody on that except Robin, and probably I'm going to give Chappie a little bit because he isn't, you know, he's kind of
Is there a recall mechanism within the county commission?
No, it's already expired. But there has to be this stuff would have been concluded. But we do have what we are, and I believe I'll leave you all with this. We really, really need to get these groups together. They need to stand up and speak for one another, because when you take down one, you take down them all. We have people that are, you know, they're identified as shirts, yellow shirts, blue shirts, green shirts. They mock them. The commission mocks them when referred to them as the color of their shirt because they're not familiar with the issues. We need to go there and make sure that they were reminded every day that the public is their boss.
Absolutely.
What's a green and yellow? What are these shirts?
The green shirts were originally associated with the animal rights.
People come in wearing the same color shirt, so they know that they're all representing one issue. You know,
go-kart riders out in the parish area. Yeah. The yellow shirts are the Tea Party, who are like Tea Party. I'm a Democrat, but I'll tell you, some of those Tea Party people, they really do not like local corruption, and they can be your allies.
So if I go to county commission, wear plaid, I'll just confuse everybody.
Yeah, that's okay. We can have plaid shirts. We don't have any of them yet. We should get some.
We changed our animal color right now is orange.
I suggested one time these people go in wearing four different shirts over another. Somebody speaking with blue, and then the next one gets up with a red shirt. They all pull their blue shirt off, and they got a red shirt.
Yeah, everybody should just wear orange and just say orange is the new black and white.
That's right. All right. Well, hey, that was great. Do keep up the good work, and everybody needs to.
Plug this article.
This weekend I'm hope to get all the approvals, because you know I'm looking at the case that's in court, but it looks like Saturday I'm going to have more on the story for it too, because the people really need to understand, and I'll clarify very easily the button issue and what that means, and the code of ethics, because the code of ethics, she can be removed in violations of code of ethics and sunshine laws. And she's in violation of them both, so they really, really need to people need to call her on her and not give her any free pass for anything anymore.
Thank you so much, John, for the work that you do. This is John Rehill, investigative reporter for the online paper for Manatee County called BradentonTimes.com. Look for his article to appear this coming Saturday about what we've been talking about today. Local politics really impacts our lives. We have a lot of national listeners through It's Your Gavel Blogspot. National listeners, these problems are probably happening in your counties too. So if you're not paying attention to local government in your counties, let Manatee County be an archetypal example of, you know, the things that you might expect that, and that are going on right in your backyards that you don't know about, that you need to know about, because it's your taxes that pay for all of this. Anyway, Mitch.
County, state, municipal, city government. Keep an eye on all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and bang your gavel.
And if you want your way, go hire the son-in-law.
Yeah, nothing like a son-in-law.
Glad I don't have one.
Everybody take care of themselves and their brothers and sisters.
Thank you, John. And,
all right.
Thank you, Debbie Glow, for coming into the studio today. We really appreciate it. And
thank you, Debbie.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me come in.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Yep,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow. Wow, we need 2 hours.
Oh, there is. We need sponsors so we can have 2 hours.
We need sponsors. If you'd like to sponsor the show, give myself a area call. My number is 813-924-7994.
And 941-465-0087. If you want to sponsor the show, call either Mitch or me. Be happy to talk.
You can also call me because I love coming in here. I love listening to everything, and I go to every BOCC meeting, and I can give you a lot of good information.
Yeah.
And my telephone number is 941-545-7873.
All right, call Debbie.
You know, we should just intercept that P.O. box. Was it
1990? 1990.
We should intercept it. We'll be well-funded.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, maybe we should get other people to go to that post office. Maybe Carol,
yeah,
give me a key to her post office box.
We'll just figure out a way. Because she doesn't check it anyway, she'll never know. She'll never know we took her money.
I know. Next time, if I ever run for office again, I'll send my campaign. Anybody who does campaign contributions can send them to Carol Whitmore's post office box.
There may be an interim election coming soon.
We hope there is.
We hope so.
Maybe Governor Scott will just see to it to appoint me.
All right. We are out of here. We'll see you next Tuesday. And tune in this time to listen to the Henry and Augie Show, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Sundays.